Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. St. Mark tells us today, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. How do you think Father Zebedee felt about that? He's out with his sons fishing, and all of a sudden this guy comes and says, follow me, and they just take off. What a surprise. It's a change, something he didn't expect. I guess he wasn't too happy about it. You know, life is full of changes and surprises and transitions. That's the way life is. I mean, Joan and I, we have the joy now, we have a little more time on our hands, and in the mornings we have time to do our devotions and talk about things. You know, one thing we're discovering? We're getting older. We're senior citizens. I mean, with this whole COVID thing, we're not bouncing back the way we used to. You get up in the morning, and suddenly you're more aware of your body. Ouch, ooch, eech, you know? It starts talking to you. And you start saying, you know, maybe I better take care of this body a little better. we're beginning to experience different kind of emotions and reactions to the transitions in our lives, both positive and negative. What about you? You experiencing some changes in your life, in your physical condition, in your social condition, in your relational condition? I mean, it happens. And these transitions are expected. Life is change. If there's no change, what do you got? Death, right? I mean, a corpse can't surprise you. If it does, and it probably was on a horror movie or something, but you know, when you're dead, you're dead. When you're alive, you're alive. And life means change and action and surprises. And we are called to adjust to life as the changes come. And then there are the sudden, abrupt changes that are negative. I remember a few years ago, it's really a shock. New Year's Day, our neighbor Jan came over and informed Joan and I, because we loved our neighbors, they're getting a divorce. I said, geez, well, what a way to start the new year. But then there's positive surprises. Like a few years ago, it was a few days before Christmas, and Joan and I were asleep. It was around midnight, and we hear, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you. We said, who and I? Christmas carolers at midnight. Who's this? And there's my son Luke and my son Mark and Zara, all the way from Singapore. They surprised us and said, wow, that was such a one. So there's surprises, negative, positive. You know, transitions happen, transition surprises. Think about Jesus today. I mean, his cousin, who many scholars feel that he worked with and learned from, John, was now in jail because of the gospel he proclaimed, to repent. And he was surprised by this. So now Jesus is on his own. And he goes out and he says, the first sermon, and if you listen to that sermon, it really summarizes not only his other sermons he gives, his parables that he gives, but his ministry that he does later. The kingdom of God is near, is at hand. The kingdom, or should say, kingship of God, the related God, his way of peace and goodwill towards all people and relationship with each other and with his creation. This kingdom, this way God wants things, this living in God's domain is near. Repent. Change the way you're walking. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Repent. And believe the good news, the gospel. And that's what Jesus is about today. Getting more people to share the gospel of the kingdom of God is now coming in Jesus himself, in Jesus' ministry. He says, okay, you're fishermen, but there's a transition going to take place. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. So they left their nets and followed him. Jesus called them to unexpected change. There was no indication in our gospel reading that these fishermen had any idea that Jesus would interrupt their lives and they would go on a radical new path, a new way of living, a new way of seeing things, a new way of feeling things. They were simply doing their everyday work, fishing. And when Jesus invited them for the gospel adventure, they entered into a new reality, the kingdom of God reality, the adventure of intentionally and consciously entering into the ministry of Jesus, into the life with God, the kingdom of life. And they start doing what we just sang about. They love to tell the story of Jesus and his love, to invite other people to join this kingdom adventure. This was God's wake-up call, that this was a new hope, the hope of which all the previous Old Testament, all of Israel, had been hoping for. But make no mistake about it, they had no idea of what that adventure would hold, from the great joys and the great sacrifices. But they knew they were called, called by God. And this call gave them authority, and this call made it worth. Call, which comes from the Latin word vocare, which means call, to call. You know something? I'm called. You know that. I'm an ordained minister. I'm called. But you're called too. Through baptism, we're all called. God calls you to be a disciple. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you do the Jesus things that you do to others and to this congregation. God calls you and me to follow him intentionally through our baptism. In our baptism, we're made disciples by the Holy Spirit. A power from on high has come into your heart, into your soul, into your minds, into your emotions, into your feelings. And Jesus calls us to follow, and he blesses us. He blesses us every day. And we see his blessings every day. For us who have eyes to see and ears to hear, to point out to one another, there's a blessing. You know, I'm going to the gym the other day, and I see this guy that looks like Johnny Weissmuller. Remember Tarzan? And it's Craig. He's coming out of the water, and he's swimming. I said, boy, that's a Lutheran with muscles, boy. You know, it was a blessing to see him. We had a little conversation. And there's blessings to have with good friends, or somebody gives you, you're feeling kind of grumpy, and somebody gives you a smile, and suddenly your heart is warmed. Or the word of encouragement comes from a teacher that you're studying, or teacher gives to a student and says, good job. And all of a sudden, their face brightens up. You know, that's a God sighting. And we become aware that Jesus is working through these good events and these people. These God-working moments, these God-sighting moments are happening. And you're a God-sighting, and you're a God-working as a disciple of Jesus as you show that love and share that love. Jesus is working through these encounters to bless you and to bless others. You see, there is joy and blessing as well as sacrifice in following Jesus. And the blessings and presence of Jesus and the call kept those first disciples going. And this call and the blessings keep 21st century you guys going and me guys going. And there is sacrifice, because following Jesus means we follow him totally. He is our Lord. That means of our whole life, and our Savior. Sometimes I think our society forgets the song, "We Give Thee But Thine Own." And we'd rather sing, "I did it my way." Boy, that hurts. Okay. We have tempted to think that I earned it. I worked hard. I deserve this. I can spend my money the way I want to, and I get my paycheck. It's mine, mine, mine. I earned it. I can do what I want with it. I. And, you know, who's going to argue with you? Yet, because we are called to follow Jesus, he gives us different insight. We are reminded that God is our Abba, our daddy, our mummy, our connection to all of life and all the cosmos and all eternity. It's Jesus. And God is our Father. And we are creatures. We're not the creator. We're not in charge. And someday we won't even be on this earth. We are disciples. He is the leader. And that we owe our physical, our mental, our emotional abilities to God. It's all a gift. We have maybe studied hard. We use those gifts good. But God gave us the brains and the capacity to learn. We may work hard and work long hours, but God provides us with the strength and the stamina to do it. Moses made it very clear when the children of Israel were going to go into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he tells the children of Israel, "Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Remember the Lord your God. I think when we do, we're okay. I think when we don't, that's when we get into trouble. Yes, it's good to be proud of your accomplishments. Good. We work hard. Yes, way to go. This pride must be kept, though, in balance with who gave you the gifts and the abilities to do this, and that's God. And who called you to use your gifts and abilities his way? It's God. Being a disciple of Jesus includes the realization that we are nothing without God. But yet with God in our lives, we are everything. So it's hard to wrap your mind around, but it's true. In God, we are all that we can be in God. And that includes our whole life. It includes our money. Speaking of money, Nick keeps telling us, we're doing pretty good. You guys are wonderful givers. God has touched your heart, and monetarily, you give to this congregation in very generous ways. I know when I looked at my Christmas gift from you guys, I said, holy smoke, I love these guys. It was great, so thank you. Because you guys, you have Christ in your heart and it's generous. Of course, we should be able to use our money any way we please, but when God touches our lives, we see a different way to use that money. But as disciples of Jesus, the question becomes, what are we called to do with our money, or with our time, or with our gifts? As Jesus' disciples, we realize that all we are and all we have belong to God. And our future belongs to God. He holds the whole world in his hands. And so we use our money differently than if we were not called by Jesus. In Jesus, you want to do all you can do to help as many as you can, to help God's world as you can, because you are a disciple of Jesus. You're different. I'm different. And you have no doubt of that. Jesus calls us just like he called Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, so that we can see life differently. See the joy of God's hand in every moment of our lives. The world looks different from the perspective of God and his blessing. The transitions and changes in our lives, which we all have and which we all will experience, look differently when we are permitted with God's eyes and God's blessings to see what's happening with our money, our abilities, our time. We know that Jesus has touched us. And as I'm reading through the annual reports, I see Jesus has touched all of us through you, through your discipleship. And you'll celebrate that in a few moments downstairs when we have our meeting. Now, no matter what happened to this first fisherman, they could always hear the voice of Jesus and know that they were called. They had a mission to follow him. And they did, through happy times, through sad times, through joy and through sorrow, and to share the good news. And you know what the wonderful thing is? We have that same gift. We have that same call. And what I can see, you guys are following Jesus in a beautiful way. Thanks be to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.